All right, everybody. Matt Time Radio is bringing to you another interview here from Marietta, California. I'm your host. I'm Rich.
I'm Crail.
And we got an exciting interview for you today. We're sitting in today with the legendary Carlson Gracie Jr. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the sport of jiu-jitsu today. And we're really excited to be sitting down with him.
Just really quick, if you guys don't know, Carlson Gracie Jr. Is a 10-time Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion in numerous tournaments, 6-time Greco-Roman wrestling champion. And he took over the reins of the legendary Carlson Gracie team in 08, and he's got his own school here in Marietta. So we're just really honored to be able to sit down with him and find out about this Carlson Gracie Jiu-Jitsu that we all are part of.
All right. So besides training Jiu-Jitsu, were there any other sports that you were involved in as a kid growing up in Brazil?
Well, people are not going to believe it, but I was a volleyball champion twice. Even I'm not too good in soccer, my team was good. I was a beach soccer champion. Mm-hmm. And beside that, wrestling and judo, you know, compete in judo for the Flamengo as a club in Rio de Janeiro. I actually was a part of the main team, you know, junior category. And I was a Rio de Janeiro team of wrestling and a national team for 6 years and competed in many different places. So, well, skillful man.
Well, very athletic. And yeah. See, I guess that's the key nowadays. People are, they're mixing the sports and wrestling and judo. And that's, I guess, one of the recipes it is to be a good jiu-jitsu player. And in growing up in such an amazing family of accomplished fighters, did you feel there was a lot of rivalry between like your cousins and other people in the family?
No, I never feel that, you know. The thing was is at first we were all together, you know, but of a consequence of the evolution and the growing of the sport, I think everybody have to start split because when you put money involved, the things start becoming kind of difficult. So I think everybody try to make money, so that's what is caused the split. But we never really split. We all together, you know, we all defend the Gracie name and we always wish a best thing for everybody, you know.
Was that split back in Rio or did that happen when jiu-jitsu came to the States?
The truth, you know, many people did not accept the truth, but, you know, I think what it would start was the Gracie Academy is just one. And I think, you know, fortunately, my dad used to have the strongest team. And we used to have a trial between our schools, you know, the Gracie schools. Mm-hmm. And my dad used to have the biggest, you know.
The draw, the most people.
The mostly people on the team. And I think it was making satisfaction for the other people. So they start split one time, two times. As much as they say my dad is the one went back to them, what I believe is they did not really accept my daddy's team was stronger than overall.
Okay. Now, was that here? Was that here?
No, that's back when I born. Oh, okay. So I would say 42 years old ago.
Wow, okay.
That's maybe even longer. Hmm. You know, that's, you know, we back in the 80s, you know, in 90s, we have a factory of champions, you know. We used to clean up the whole the tournament. So we got first, second place, each belt. I remember when I was a brown belt, one or two tournaments in the year, we win every class weight for, you know, and people was like, wow. So what I believe too is that many people grow into there. Like you see the new team is Alliance. You know, we have the Baja Gracie. So I think they kind of push themselves as a point they have to get better to compete against us. And, you know, they're out there. You know, congratulations to them. Congratulations to everybody, you know. Yeah. I think the sport growing, and, you know, let's work on that, you know.
Well, not to take anything away from Alliance, but do you think it's possibly they're on top because of just the sheer size of their team, since their team is so big?
Well, Baja Gracie have a team like that they're still not competing with. Yeah. You know, we do have two, just need, you know, like people get more focused and, you know, start get a better organization. I think the Alliance team, they're very organized. Congratulations for all them. For Romero Jacaré, he's a very excellent teacher, mm-hmm. you know, and he has a good follow with, you know, Alexandre Paiva, Fabio Grugel. You know, they right now, they're doing, you know, better than anyone, other teams, but it's not, I mean, the other team is not good either. So, I mean, it's just the best organization, more like a tough black belts. You know, but the Castle Creek team is not behind, you know. We picking up, you know. You know, we have a split a long time ago. And basically, a lot of our black belts walk away. But we develop new ones, you know. I'm here to do that. And anyone want to get better, don't just, you know, follow me and you got to get better, you know. So that's all it is.
Right. Well, everyone that follows the sport of jiu-jitsu knows that the Carlson Gracie side of jiu-jitsu has always been stronger and more dominant than what you would, I guess, categorize as what they say is sport jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. and how the Carlson Gracie team has always been more focused towards MMA. And so I think that's a, you know, a really good way to focus. How was it, or how old were you when you first started to compete in jiu-jitsu tournaments?
Oh, man, that's a long time ago. Look, I remember my first tournament. I got choked so hard, the guy don't let my neck go. You know, I just hear my fight, don't tap, don't tap. Seriously, I fought like a black guy. I get out the semi-colon him, but I didn't tap. So I did not win. I lost my first tournament with 0-0. I went for the takedown. He grabbed my neck, and he never let it go. I mean, I don't know if he was scared of trying to let the thing go, but I believe he was squeezing my neck very hard. But, you know, about the MMA thing, you know, I just have one thing to say. All respect of all the MMA fighters becoming for trainings for jiu-jitsu, but the only team really, you know, have an outlook out there as an MMA team was for the Carlson Gracie team. After there is no one, you know. The American top team, Brazilian top team, they come for the Carlson Gracie team, so they got the training with my father. So anybody else, you know, forget about it. Yeah. You know, you can see any other team, they try put out their MMA fighters, come on, you know. And whoever really sounds like a really MMA team is the people coming for training with my father. Under Pedeneiras, you know, he has Jose Aldo right now. He come for the Carlson Gracie. It's a semi, like a lineage. But any other ones, forget about, you know. You can try look around, you know. I'm not just saying, it's a truthfully, you know. If you don't come for Carlson Gracie, they didn't know any MMA.
That's all I have to say.
did you feel like a lot of pressure to fight MMA because of your lineage? Because I seen a fight with you and John Lewis. Remember that fight? Like,
I feel pressure of my father, you know?
Yeah.
Before the fight. Not in the day of the fight. I think when you go to the fight, I think you're already prepared, you know? You are mentally prepared, you know? Like, my dad used to develop such a big confidence in you. You know, like, and he know if you're not ready to fight, you're not gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
He has, we call the clinical eyes, where you look at the person and you can say, this guy is for MMA. But what's the problem in these days? People try push the person in the edge of the point, like, what, he gonna go fight? And really, the guy not mentally prepared, you know, so he break it down. So you see, like, excellence of Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters, but they don't have a good backup. You know, the coach right there encourage yourself and, you know, really grow into you, the kind of feeling, and you actually don't do well, you know? See, many people come in and down so quick, yeah. You know? Myself, personally, I'm not a big fan of MMA fight, you know? I'm more like a jiu-jitsu sport, not even much no-gi, but, you know, I grow in the environment. So I used to hear the crazy thing every day. It's like look like a Coliseum in Roma, you know, like,
yeah.
You get closed doors and people killing each other. Like, but nobody really get hurt. At the end of the train, everybody hang with each other. It's all good. But in these days right now, it's such a workout thing. And now they forget a little bit of the psychological thing, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you feel like... I mean, because now it's like the business of jiu-jitsu, right? Like, everybody wants to charge $300 and do this. Do you feel like that aspect of jiu-jitsu, you're losing the the science of the sport, like the love of the sport to train because of the business?
Well, everybody try making money out there, you know. So I think the high qualification coach, they should charge as long as they don't, you know, abuse of the money way like to get from people. I think they should get paid what they deserve.
Right.
And about the point as like how much they, you know, gonna get paid. I think each one have to feel yourself. Some people sell themselves cheap. Some other people sell themselves the valuable they are. Some people sell themselves too much and don't even worth it. But, you know, basically is whoever want to pay, you know. Like it's always how they call it's a marketing. Yeah. There's a lot of people market themselves well, you know. And you see like out there people go karate schools. You know, you're not going to learn much in there. But you go every karate school.
Yeah.
You know, and they fill up with students.
You're right.
But it's about choice, you know. If you want to learn karate, if you want to taekwondo, Muay Thai, boxing, is have a good coaches out there. But it's not all damn good, you know.
Yeah.
But same thing with the jiu-jitsu. You know, you get a guy like I'm a black belt and they put a good market out there. You don't know how his black belt come from. People don't usually check it where they come from. That's what I think is the problem is that because many people out there, they do a promotion themselves, get a good marketing guy, because that's why you're looking for a marketing guy. For he promotes yourself, you know. That's what they call market. That's what people go to school for, you know, to market. So then they get sell out just for the look. I think if you do a search, and try find out if it's all that thing is true, okay? But that's a problem. People look at things and say, wow, and they go there and sign up right away, and, you know, they pay a lot for nothing. So,
yeah,
you know, it's many different points.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to, you know, this sport, it's a growing sport and it's a huge sport, but yet there is still some purity in it where even recently, I don't know if you guys remember that guy, Barbo, that he lied about having a black belt. And it was a very big deal, and he was exposed very, very quickly. And a lot of people came down on him, and it's just like, Barbo, you can't lie. There's something like that.
He opened a school, said he got his black belt from somebody, and he was just taking people's money.
You know, like, let me explain something. You know, I've been in jiu-jitsu for 39 years, and I've been teaching for around 29. I started very young, helping my father with the kids' class. So I start growing, I start being like a white belt teacher. And when I was 17 years old, I get my purple belt. And I start teaching regular classes until I got to the point I was teaching black belts, you know. When I left Brazil, I just teaching black belts. I don't even teach more anything else. My preference is teach kids, you know, because it's more fun. You see, they're really learning. They don't bother you so much, you know. I mean, some people get bugged about that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like... I have to teach kids, they horrify with the thing, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all about the discipline. If you can control them, tell them what to do, you know, that's all they want. That's all the parents want.
Yeah.
But basically what it is people approach you in these days and say, you know, I want to get a black belt, I'm black belt in this. So they sell the belt, you know?
Yeah.
They go and sell. I mean, literally they sell. You know, the guy show up in school, maybe he purple, but some people coming to my association. It's either way, not just the person ask you, for the person want to get the money for the person. It's both ways. The guy says, if you associated with me, I give you brown belt in 2 years, you black. So there's a sell.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I almost break my whole body to get my black belt, compete, you know? And at the time when I got my black belt, it was a big campaign because... But they said, no, not yet. And I was like a 5 years brown belt already. So what else are you waiting for, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It's not much about people show up with the belts, but people giving belts just for the fact that they give us some monthly payment or, you know, hire for a couple of seminars. And then, you got belt, you know. Every seminar you show up, you're going to get one belt. That's very common these days, you know. And I think that's totally wrong.
Yeah. I actually I think sometimes we get stuck on the belt idea, and I actually read that you started at 5 and then get your belt till you're 22, right?
Yeah.
And I go like, wow, that's really.
I got my belt when, you know, I kind of forgot when I got my belt because at the same time I got judo belt.
Uh-huh.
You know, I went to train in judo. My coach looked at me and put a white belt. I was already green, but I said, I'm not going to show up there with the green, you know. I got to come with the white.
Yeah, yeah.
So he looked at me and say, which belt you want in jiu-jitsu? I said, brown. You not black yet? He know my father. You not black yet? And I say, no. How come? And I say, I don't know. Asking my father. He look at me like, oh my God. So I said, you hear you brown too. But I was a green belt for, because I never did a test.
Mm.
For like a probably 7 years.
Uh-huh.
I never changed my belt. I used to compete against black belts and stuff. But, you know, it's still green belt because I never, you know, go there, test, you know. I never have a time to train for tests.
Yeah.
So, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is kind of different. We can't actually promote the person. So, I right away went to brown, and I got black first in Jiu-Jitsu. You say, you're still brown. You keep looking. Brown, 1 year more brown. I got black with him right away, you know.
Right, yeah.
But, and right after I got my black belt. So, and then I kind of confused when I got my black belt. So, I would say with 20, 21, 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know it was before 23.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, as a professor, what you feel each student should have at the different belt levels, white, blue, purple, brown, and black? Like, what's the criteria you look for?
Well, I mean, we know white belt is just beginner. And I think, you know, blue belt is still the beginnings. But what do you feel about, you know, the colored belts and stuff? And
well, look, what I believe is belts change with the, you know, if the guy become a mature fighter. You know, the belts come as a complement of the all achievements plus all the help he does, you know. You know, I can't say what the right word now, but yeah. I would say, like, if the person, you know, he's an excellent fighter, but his attitude is very cocky. I don't think he deserves, because if you keep giving belt for him, when you become a black belt, he's going to look at you, you know, probably slap in your face.
Yeah.
So you just build it up, somebody, you know, it's not going to be good. You know, belt is nothing else than tie the gi. You know, you tie your gi with a belt, you got to have her. So I pass for every single belt, okay? So I stayed like 10 months in the blue belt. You know, many people spend a lot of years.
Yeah.
In my father's school, I know people spend 7-8 years in a blue belt. So at that time, you know, when you pass from the blue belt in my mm-hmm. father's school, that means you could be a black belt.
Ah, okay.
You know? So now how I'm in the United States and many people want belts. You know, like the first time I put a degree in my belt, I was already third degree. Because I looked to my father and say, Father, my students ask you which degree I am. He said, put whatever you want, you know. You want to put a 5, you put a 5. Whatever, you know. And like with the belt in America, like people just... which belt you are. But people here even concerned if they win a spar or not. So it's kind of weird, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
here, many people do time in spar. Back in Brazil, we do no time.
Yeah.
So it's not who win the spar, whoever quit first. You know, we spar 10 minutes. We don't have a 10 minutes. It's a minimum 10 minutes. It's like a half an hour. And if you're tired, you got to tap.
Yeah.
It's not about you... I didn't tap you, didn't tap me, you mounted me 10 times, but after half an hour, I go and choke you, so I win.
Right.
So the essence of jiu-jitsu is like, who tap? That's how finish the fight. So right here, people, you know, I think some people don't develop this style just for the fact that they're concerned too much of win or lose the spar, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I lose the spar, I might don't get a belt. Back in Brazil, when my father's time, seriously, the black belts, man, they get such a hard time with the blue belts. So, like, they actually scare the blue belts, you know?
Yeah.
They, I don't want to spar, I just want to spar somebody my level. So, you know, you know, like, it's a different concern, like a different, like, aspect here in the United States. So what I do now, I keep it there longer in the white, something where other people don't do it. You know, you see, like, some schools, don't want to mention names, they have programs where if you complete the program, mm-hmm. you get belt. So, and then you get the blue belt, and you get a little program, and in certain time, so that means you set up as a karate style.
Yeah.
I don't say it's wrong. If the guy really dedicated himself and followed the program, he gonna learn.
Yeah.
The program is good, but I just think the time is not right.
Right.
Okay? But myself, I have my own program. I do. It's different to what they do. It's the same program my grandfather developed many years ago. And I keep it then back and forth in the same thing. But I give it then opportunity to taste a heavy duty training too.
Yeah.
So at the same time, when you get the blue belt, he's already more prepared than the other schools' blue belts set it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't give it then raw a blue belt. They actually get some few scars in the middle of the way until they get a blue belt. And I think what I believe, I think these days, everyone develop their own style of promoting.
Right.
And you cannot really certainly, like, say how long. Because maybe you get a nerd guy walking to school, and how are you going to give him one year a blue belt? You can't. But in the other way you look, some other people don't want to lose the money they pay, so they give the blue belt, and they don't really care mm-hmm. if the guy going to get wiped out of the mat.
Yeah.
As long as they can suck the money, they're going to be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, more for me. I don't care, no?
How did you guys do belt promotions back in the day? Like, you know, some people do the throws. Some people hit you with the belt.
Oh, no, we just get the belt. And, like, we didn't have diplomas. I remember my dad's diploma was right out by hand. So, and
you,
then...
You guys did do stripes. You did stripes.
No.
So just give you a belt. And
no.
Thank
yeah,
you.
No stripes.
No throwing, not. No hitting in the back.
Oh, with the time, people... No. Wow. Oh, in Brazil, a lot of, like, they call the gauntlet.
Yeah, the gauntlet.
Yeah. We got there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean... I'm not saying it's different. I didn't say it's better. I didn't say it's now is better. I'm just saying it was a just different time.
Yeah.
I think now it's more professional. I think it's a different horizons in these days. Mm-hmm. People use what many years of study and development for many things. You can see jiu-jitsu is everywhere in the world. It's every career.
Yeah.
You find a thief, he do jiu-jitsu. You find a banker, he do jiu-jitsu. Actor, he do jiu-jitsu.
A chemist.
Yeah. You find any kind of people doing jiu-jitsu. Why? It's an interest sport, you know? And we are in the Army, CIA, DEA, you know, everywhere. Our program is everywhere. So whatever my grandfather, Carlos Grace, did, and my father exposed with his... many years of conquerors of fight, you know, defend the name, which one went down for a while. So we all here now.
Yeah.
Even me, you know, I can't even compare my dad and my father. I don't think people can compare. He was outstanding in every kind of point of view of Brazilian jiu-jitsu you can see, you know.
Yeah.
And for someone who was looking to get their children to start, you know, training, what would be a good age you would recommend someone getting their kids to start training?
Well, depend how much attention is it, you know. I start with 2.5, okay? So my sister start with 3. Some people, my son just start, he has 5. Mm-hmm. And I have a kid with 4. It all depends. If the teacher is very patient and he know what he's doing, he can actually take it 3-4 years old. Because this kid I teach... he just turned 4 2 weeks ago. So he actually responded very well. But you cannot be frustrated if they don't do right. You know? It's all for repetition, you know? You have to do many, many times. And out here, they do a lot of recreative classes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's right for the fact in South America, Central America, Latino countries, if your kid beats some other kid, you're all happy, you know? Here in the United States, it's a big problem. You know? Your kid is not be allowed to go to school. Your kid is antisocial. They're going to be calling you in the school. So what I do in my school with my kids, they just learn self-defense and escapes of a situation. They don't know any submission, and that's what I teach them. So you don't want to hurt nobody, you know?
And now, since jiu-jitsu is growing and growing, what do you think of its possibility of becoming an Olympic sport?
Well, you know, that's kind of hard to answer because they require many, many things, you know? So I know they are trying, but I think you have some quantity of countries and it has to be approved.
Well,
I think
they said if Brazil did get, you know, to host the Olympic Games, they were looking to make it a, you know, a sport. Mm-hmm. If it does say happen, would you possibly be involved in training an Olympic team?
If they call me to train it, then yes. But maybe some younger people will be able to do it until you know, probably go with a can to try to teach them, you know, like a Mr. Miyagi or something like that. So
make them paint
well,
your
house. Well, but I'll be up to do it, you know, because I think many coaches, but what I believe is many good coaches out there. So you know how it is. You grow old, people forget about you. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, but you see.
And so now, since your father's passing, what is the Carlson Gracie team like? Has it changed a whole lot as far as how the team's connected, or are you holding the team together as it was before?
Well, you know, like in Chicago, I have my team is growing. You know, we dominated the Nagas tournament, which was the second biggest tournament in the United States. The last three or four times we have in Chicago or around Chicago area, we won kids, gi, you know, gi, everything. So from the Federation tournament, the IBJJF, I think they have one the winter, one, I think they have like a three tournaments so far. Everyone, we got a second place. The reason is because the tournament was made in one day and they limited of a numbers of people to sign up, yeah. Like a 500. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't there, we'd believe we would win. But we can't answer that if for sure. So that's another thing. Like we're doing this tournament here this weekend for the Carson Grace team here in Temecula, and some people come for different schools. But we're doing a trial tournament at Chicago because we have around like between 800 and 1,000 members in the Carson Grace team just in Illinois State, in that area. So we're going to have on the 29th of this month the first Carson Grace tournament in-house to develop the first team to the tournament. First, number one, and number two seed for the team to send to the tournament, and right away they're going to sign up. So I hope everything go well.
And do you do a lot of traveling amongst the Carson Gracie schools worldwide?
Oh, man. Seriously, the last month I took a rest, but I go to Europe, you know, and I go to Australia, Central America. Last year, I went three times to Brazil, you know, Canada, Mexico. You know, I travel usually not just for the Carson Grace, some other teams they invite me to, you know. I don't know what it is. I think they have a good training. But I have like a lovable personality, you know, and people like to be with me because I share my techniques. And, you know, I can say I have experience in what I'm doing. And I don't really care because jiu-jitsu is out there. Everybody, if they don't learn it from you, they're going to learn from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go YouTube, they're going to go
DVDs.
You know, it's a minimal amount. I think it's almost zero in these days where one guy from a different team can come train your school. It's very difficult. You go to somebody's school and say, oh, can I pay a mat fee? They don't even gonna ask you where you're coming from. You know why? It's a business. They're gonna get your money and you come in. Back in Brazil, we don't have a visitors for like a 10 years. When they come at the door, somebody different, the hyenas look like, oh, I'm gonna eat him alive. You know? But in these days, it's such a common thing. People walk at the door, you know, a different gi, and what the coach do? Say, look, he's for a different team, but everybody be nice. You know? They're so not gonna hurt the guy because maybe one day you guys gonna have to go a different place. So that, because before it was such a minimal amount of academies. So right now, you blink your eyes and see a new one, especially in California.
Yeah.
You know, California, they probably have, what, 1,000 schools? I don't have a clue. I know around me in Chicago, I have maybe 5 different schools. You know, a lot of them come from me. And they open their own school. Some of the ones come from different place. But you know what? We're all happy. Nobody have problems. You know, it's just to grow the sport. And that's the way it's going to be. And that's the way it's going to keep growing, you know? You know, you blink your eyes, oh, guy open school right here. Yeah. You know? So the only way you have to try to do it is to don't cause a problem in your own federation is put people, school one after other. You have to keep some distance.
Yeah.
Between.
Now, I know a lot of people don't know, but what made your dad style jiu-jitsu so different from the Gracie jiu-jitsu? Because everyone's always talking about, you know, at least for me, we're like smash, pass, submit, right?
Yeah, because my daddy was the first one to actually fight MMA with no gi.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
You know, like, that's why the style is more aggressive and more efficient on the real fight, because he's the one actually really fought without uniform, you know?
Oh, okay.
And you could see, like, 1991, you have the Luta Livre against Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Who those guys looking for? For my father to train them.
Yeah.
That's the only qualify. And why you be different right now, you know, under the Carson Grace team? If they don't develop nothing back then, they will not develop right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you see a lot of the moves? Because look, I looked at your fight with the Lewis guy,
mm-hmm.
and you had this. To me, it looked like a De La Riva from the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is
De La
that
Riva
still
kind of X guard?
Yeah.
And blah.
Yeah. I mean, is that
and they say these old styles all developing now. Well, they're just using more, you know.
Yeah. Because I seen it, I was like, wow. This, I mean, you know, this video is before. It's very now.
That's 1996, right?
Yeah. And you, I mean, you had that De La Riva in there, and the guy couldn't get out, you know? And I was like, wow.
That's just my daddy. They called De La Riva, but it was Carson Grace, you know? So
yeah.
My daddy should do that kind of style,
oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, because, you know, when you get in the real fight situation, and you actually train your rough in that point,
mm-hmm.
so you start creating things differently.
Yeah.
Which one is more effective?
Right.
Because you use that especially for jiu-jitsu, about MMA, you know?
Yeah.
And what advice would you give to someone that's training now, you know, to help them stay in the sport and stay motivated?
Every time they get to any kind of lock, you tap for don't hurt yourself.
Okay.
Okay? And don't train more than, you know, you supposedly. Because, you know, if you train too much, you might get hurt. And choose like kind of people you spar, you know, and don't be offended if you lose in the spar, because it's all part of the sport, you know.
That's good advice, right? That's good. I think that's great advice. Huh.
Yeah, very true. So it looks like we're going to wrap it up. We're honored to have this time with you today. Thank you very much. Now, where anyone looking to find your gyms or your school, where can they find you?
Well, I'm in Chicago. You can look for CarsonGrace.net. You know, that's the website I use in the Chicago area. You know, I teach in 17 North Wabash, fourth floor in Chicago downtown. And you can look for MMA gym training, you know.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Also, I mean, we're out here at your school in Murrieta. So if anyone's out in Murrieta.
So, I'm out here too, but I teach here, not in the regular basis, but I'm here very often. And here, the instructors, they are, you know, trained by me. So,
yeah.
And tomorrow we have a tournament, you know.
And you had a guy from Alaska here too.
We got a guy from Alaska.
If you want to mata
de oso. He's rougher up this week. He's a little messed up with training hard, and so he go back with new skills.
No mata de león, mata de oso in Alaska, right?
Mata de oso, yeah. So I just want to say thanks for the opportunity, and anytime you guys want to have a talk to me, you know, just look for me. I'll be back.
All right. Thank you very much. And for everyone out there listening, we were sitting down with Carlson Gracie Jr. Carl and myself are very proud to be training under that same style of jiu-jitsu ourselves. And we will talk to you again next time on Mat Time Radio.
Peace.com. So you can look. We have a 5 schools in Chicago area. Just to link this website. And if you want to look for the other Carlson Gracie schools in Chicago area, you go for the CarlsonGrace.net.
Okay, so that was ChicagoMMATraining.com. Yeah. All right, everybody.
And then, okay, so I got a question. I want to get your approval.
All right.
So whenever I earn my brown belt, I want to get a Carlson Gracie Bulldog tattoo.
Uh-huh.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
You can do it. Just do the perfect one.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you
a register mark, so you can put
that.
Yeah, okay.
I just got my purple. I'd like to get a tattoo myself too. Is that all right with you?
I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna make sure I get your email and get the approval.
All right, we do that. You got it here right now.
All right. All right, we got it. Now,
you heard it here.
No, my gi has a patch on it that I made.
Oh yeah.
No bulldog though, because okay. I didn't get your approval, but it does say respect Carlson. I just want you to know.
Okay. So thank you very much for that.
Well, it would be nice to put a bulldog on there, but I don't know what you're gonna charge me for that.
We can work on that.
Okay. Deal.
All right?
Deal.